Broadcast Network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans. Producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows. Interviewing celebrities and showrunners. And bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey, everybody. Welcome to The 100, Season 2, Episode 5, Human Trials. I'm your host, Tari J. Miller, and joining us is Alexis McLeod Torres.
I already messed it up.
I know. I'm the worst.
Hi,
I got
everybody.
So excited.
Amazing.
Feels weird being in a different studio because I'm so used to seeing you guys in Studio C.
It's exciting to have you here. We're stoked to have a third guest.
Yeah, seriously.
Guys.
Let it quiet the cries of the internet to have a female panelist on
the
show.
Yes, I saw the comments. I'm here.
Yeah. Yes.
I'll help you out. I'm ready
Reached
to talk
for
some
you guys.
The 100.
Don't say we never did anything for you.
Yeah.
Gonna be terrible.
And also joining us as usual, Ben Bateman.
What's up, guys? How you doing? Where's my camera? Oh, here I am.
Just use all the cameras. Just keep panning
just
your face.
It's like she said, you're never in the studio, you know?
I'm
figuring it out as we go. You guys are a part of something fresh and new here on this episode, so let's do it.
Yeah.
So what'd you guys think of the episode?
I thought it was really interesting. There were a lot of fun things that happened. Fun in a, like, I guess from a sci-fi standpoint. Because we got the trials and we got the trickery and all that stuff. So I thought it was really intriguing. And I like that a lot of the storylines are converging. Because, I mean, it's getting to be 100 different storylines. If you see my notes, it's like 5 different panels.
You should really see them. There's like literally like, what is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different panels.
Yep.
Going at once.
It's
I'm not any better. It's like all chicken scratch on my notes.
Yeah, I can often not read my own handwriting, so we'll see how this goes.
For me, I'm on the same boat. I feel like we were kind of all, like, at the start of the season, it kind of felt all over the place, because, I mean, as soon as they left the drop ship, it kind of just scattered, which was kind of cool, because at least now it completely changes up from just being from the Ark to the drop ship, but now it's kind of like, we're on the Ark now, and then mouth weather, and then we're also on the ground going to different, I don't know, and I hate it because at the same time, my favorite characters are slowly losing their marbles. I don't know what's happening with
fully.
That.
Fully. All the way.
All the way. Like, I don't know about you guys, but Finn was my favorite, and he's slowly not becoming my favorite anymore.
I mean, I sort of want to wait till we get to that particular part of the episode, but I just want
to
say,
back.
For the record right now, I'm annoyed. I'm totally annoyed with the character, with the way that they've taken the character, with what happened this episode, the way it ended, everything about it. I'm just like, I don't even...
I mean, yeah.
I get it.
Yeah, and we'll get to it. And I have a thing. Like, I'll probably be the only defender of the realm.
Probably.
But I have a, I guess from a writer standpoint, I have a defense for it.
No, I mean, and I totally get it. I mean, I'm still on track and on the bandwagon of the 100, but at the same time, like, the fact that they're just kind of, just, I feel like the writers are just slapping stuff on there. You know what I mean?
Totally. That's exactly what I mean. That's
I just feel like they're just like throwing it out. I don't know. And then the fact that I was really on Clark's case, like I was like, yeah, she's awesome. She's, you know, trying to, you know, defend the group and be awesome. But at the same time, now she's just kind of driving me crazy a little bit. I feel like all she wants to do is just be the strong one, which is cool. But at the same time, I'm kind of like, you don't have to, we're not trying to survive in that kind of way anymore. Like, you're with your mom, you have the Ark now, there's more people. Why are you still seem like you're still fighting the grounders and trying to do, I don't know, I feel like it's too much.
Well, she's definitely, I mean, and this probably should cover the first bit of it, because she shows back up to camp.
Yes.
Well, actually, Tari did this, because he always recaps it.
Basically, the security are dragging in who they think is a grounder. Everyone's gathering around to see the wounded grounder, and Abby recognizes Clark.
Thank God.
And, and so they have this wonderful reunion. Abby is mad at all the people because they shot her daughter, etc. And basically, from this point on, everyone's having their reunions. I'll stop it about there so we can talk about the reunion itself. But, you know, other people come back to campus. not campus, but to camp.
To campus.
Yeah. You know, it's, everyone went off to college and then came back.
Yeah, I definitely – so to after the recap, to reference what you said before the recap, which is essentially what is about the after the recap. Anyway, I feel like Clark is just reacting to the fact that she's totally – just and just like Raven says later, you know, Clark has to fend for herself and she's not a kid anymore. So that kind of does make sense. The one thing about their relationship, Clark and her mother, that I noticed in this episode that I liked is that for the first time since I think the show's really started, you got to finally see Abby Griffin acting like out of emotion, but not in like a I'm just going to stir things up and because it's the right thing. It's like, no, it is wrong that we're going to leave these kids out there that I sent out with guns. That is you're totally right in saying that, Bellamy. And she doesn't care because she has her daughter back. Right. Which was like, it's an effective use of like the mother-daughter thing, which is such a strong emotional force for her as a character. So I believed that, and I did appreciate that about it. But,
yeah, I didn't even think about that, but in looking back, I'm like, okay, that does make sense. She is kind of acting more of a mother now than she ever has since season one.
Totally.
So that is kind of nice, but at the same time, I feel like, like at the very end, which we'll bring up, you know, a little later on in the show, that the fact that she got to the point where she was, you know, being a mother and being really concerned about her daughter being out there, but at the same time, she doesn't understand what Clark has been through these past, you know, few months now.
Yeah. So, like, yeah, we get to the point where essentially she, now that she's counselor, they have to figure out how they're going to distribute their resources. And she decides to leave, Bellamy, Clark, Finn, all of them to fend for themselves while they go on to support Kane and also defend their own borders. And Clark ain't having it. Clark basically wants to find them because they're looking for her right now.
Yeah.
So she feels responsible. And then she and Bellamy and Octavia, who return to camp, decide to go off on their own and find the gentleman.
Yeah.
I was going to say this right now, and I know, again, I complained about Octavia before, and I think last week we talked about how we felt that Jaha being brought back into the show was kind of just, like, unnecessary. I wrote as one of my notes that I wish that Octavia, Lincoln, and Jaha were all dead at this point. And I don't mean that, like, it's not anything to say about, like, the actors or even necessarily the character development with them on the show. It has everything to do with the fact that I'm just, like, I don't feel serviced at all by Jaha being in this show anymore. And I don't even feel that the Lincoln-Octavia storylines that we're seeing and we'll talk about in a minute are relevant anymore. It's not the storyline I want to pay attention to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have to be on that boat too. I'm kind of like, as soon as he was, even though he did get on the, what was it, a missile, I guess? I don't really know what that was. I was just like, what? But the thing is that I didn't like, I was just like, I thought he was going to die on the arc. Like, you know, Titanic, like what he referenced to in season one, like he was the captain, he's going to go down with the ship kind of thing.
Yeah.
I thought, okay, yeah, that's great for his character. It gives him something. And then of course he went a little crazy. And then when he left, I was like, okay, so he's going to die in the missile. Like, that's it. Mm-hmm. Like, that's great. It was heroic. That's awesome. And then he lands in, like I was telling you earlier, off camera about he lands in this weird, like, deserty area. And I was like, okay, so now what? So he's going to die in the desert? That's great.
The deserts of Manhattan, as they call it.
Yeah. And I was just like, okay, so he's going to die there. Great. And then he gets captured. Okay. So is that it? We're never going to see him again? And then, obviously we'll see him later on. And I was just like, why? I don't understand what's the point in that. So, I feel like he needs to go.
And that, nicely, because he only shows up in this one moment in this episode, could be all that we say about Jaha in this particular episode.
It could, basically. It could
be. So aside from what we saw with you know, Clark gets back to camp, we probably should reference the whole, like, them just conveniently escaping.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, she's like, she looks at, I wrote her name down this time because I always would call her militaristic.
Major Byrne.
Yeah.
Byrne.
She always, you know, and oh, by the way, just for the record, I know this is nitpicking and we've been criticized on YouTube before for just all we do is nitpick.
Uh-huh.
But she shows up, she's dragging Clark and Abby, she says, wait, no, you can't get near the prisoner. She goes, that's not a prisoner. That's my daughter.
Dun,
and it's
dun,
like,
dun.
It's like, no, you're the chance. You'd push her out of the way and run to your daughter. That's how you feel. You're not going to respond, or you'd scream at her and run to your daughter. it's not time for like a Hollywood moment. That's not at all what would happen.
Well, she's not that kind of chancellor where she will pull rank. She's more just like, oh, this is a thing and this is, I want you to understand. So I'm going to go do the thing.
I just think from a guttural, and especially how she reacted in the motherly way, I just didn't buy it. I was like, that's a total TV moment. That's, she wouldn't have even responded. She might have just said no and just walked forward. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I mean, anyway, I'm totally, totally nitpicking. But
yeah, it was a soundbite for the commercial, or for the like next week preview.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so anyway, they conveniently get out because, you know, Raven has a friendship with Wick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, she deactivates the fence and gives them guns. And no one's following them. Nobody's tracking all the kids. They just leave camp and no one sees them sneaking, like, behind a corner with a bunch of guns.
Yeah. That's where I was being nitpicky. I'm sorry to interrupt you. That's where I was being nitpicky. If a normal teenager can fit through a hole that's like that big in an electrical fence, what makes you think that maybe a grounder or a mountain man who can also disable it in some way or form can't get in there either?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the concern would be they can't disable it because
It's from the inside. But in my brain, I'm like, okay, grounders maybe. That makes sense because I don't think they could figure that out. But I feel like mountain men could figure that out and get into their camp and kill everybody. That was just my own nitpicking as I sat there and I went, that doesn't seem very safe. Mm-hmm. Just letting you know.
Right.
It didn't seem like it was very safe at all.
I would agree. So they get out. There's nothing else that happens back there we need to reference, right? Go ahead.
Oh, no. Go for it.
I was just going to say, it's nice to see that after last week's episode with the savage fight that we saw between Anya and Clark,
yeah.
When she wakes up, she does actually look, like, battered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She looked gnarly. And it was like, that is, you look like you're almost dead because you took, didn't she take a bullet? They didn't.
She did take a bullet.
Did they reference that?
Yeah, they were surgically removing it.
Okay.
I didn't see that.
And she's good. She's 10 hours later.
Well, I mean, it was in like the shoulder. It's nothing she hasn't taken before.
Have you ever taken a bullet in the shoulder? Because I haven't. But
every other weekend, I'm assuming sometimes just like guts, shoot me in the shoulder. I want to feel something today.
Oh dear.
Sad.
Let's just, when this is over, let's just go outside and shoot each other in the shoulder and drive home and see how we do.
I'm not a part of this. I will not be part. I will probably take video, but that's about it.
All right. We need documentation.
So.
Jumping forward a little bit.
Yep.
When Abby finds out that they're all gone, mm-hmm. she confronts Raven about it and gets super aggressive. Slaps Raven in the face.
I wasn't expecting that.
The cat fight.
Yeah.
A little bit.
It was more like the typical mom just, you know, slapping some or getting out some frustration, I guess.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
And I like how Raven wasn't fazed by it and Abby didn't actually apologize, really. She kind of just broke down.
Do you think she knows that Raven knows? Do you think, like, I mean, she walked up like she did, but do you think she trusts Raven or do you think she's still?
That's where I'm on the fence, because I feel like she knows that Raven knows something, but she knows Raven's not going to tell her.
Sure.
So I don't know. What did you?
I don't think that I think that she definitely knows that Raven helped, but there's nothing that she can really do about it.
Right.
I mean, the whole time she was saying like, just tell me and you won't get in trouble. Just
in
admit
my brain,
it.
I was like, what are you really going to do to Raven?
Yeah.
I mean, really. I mean, I get it that you can because you're the chancellor, but at the same time, I mean, Raven's already in her own predicament. She was just trying to help.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I really can't see her going like, okay, guards, take her away. Like, I can't see that.
20 lashes.
Yeah. So something
to
note, and we keep focusing on this, and we should get to them in the woods. But basically, something I noticed that I thought of was, we talked, I think, 3 episodes ago, or probably 4, because when Raven has the bullet taken out, that might be the first episode. First or second of the second season.
When Raven gets, it's like, yeah, second or third
episode.
Okay. So it's, and I remember us talking and saying that it's nice to see such like a pretty character, be, you know, like maybe we're actually going to see her be crippled. Like that's, mm-hmm. maybe that's a real thing we're going to see, which is, would have been surprising considering she's like one of the lead attractive female characters on the show. And after last week and now with this week and them walking away and her just sort of being behind the fence, like, shucks, I can't. I can't be a part of this. I kind of like that, right? From the writers.
Yeah.
I think it's good to see, and she sort of just never gives up the fight, even though you can see she's a little sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have to agree with that, because I definitely thought, I was like, is she going to try to go with the group? And then I'm glad that she just kind of stayed back and let them do it.
Yeah, there could have been that absurd moment where they're like, no, you're not, she's like, you don't think I'm going to stay behind.
Yeah, that's what I thought she was going to do.
Right.
She was like, nope.
She's smart enough to realize that she would be holding him back.
I should have given her better credit than that. But in my brain, I was thinking the writers were going to do that. They were going to be like, oh, yeah, she could totally do it. She'll be fine.
Jumping off from there, let's get to the kids in the forest.
Yeah.
So we'll start with Bellamy and Clark, then we'll go into... Yeah.
I think they have another convenient name you could call them if you wanted to.
Oh, yeah?
Hashtag Bellark, I believe.
Oh, is that what that is now?
I haven't heard about
that. It's the slang I'm learning. It's the slang I'm learning.
Bellark.
And I was convinced, as this week, I saw a lot of Bellark hashtags and Instagram posts and things like this.
Yeah.
And I was, for a minute, I was like, have I been watching the same show? Am I missing something? I was like, are they a couple? Because, you know, Linktavia is the other one.
Yeah.
That's what
you hear those two all the time. And no, it's just the people. But then this episode, you guys got the vibe,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, a little bit. They were
and Finn's crazy now, so maybe.
I mean, I would be okay. Bellamy is not one of my favorite characters since day one, but at the same time, I'm glad with his character development is getting better.
Yeah. He's grown a lot.
Yeah, he's grown a lot. But at the same time, I don't really want Clark and Bellamy to get together. Sorry. Sorry, fans. I don't know. I don't know what I would want for Bellamy or Clark, but I don't know if they're gonna...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Did you like him better or worse when the writers had him stop taking his shirt off?
Oh my god! I'm sorry. Again, ladies, you're all gonna hate me for this. I sat there watching it, and I would throw popcorn at my computer screen and be like, put your shirt back on! I'm not into the, like, overly muscly character, like, anything.
As the two teens, like, scamper out of his tent.
Yeah!
And he's like, I need bullets for my gun, let's go kill someone.
I was just like, what are we, what show is this?
That was early Bellamy, it was like, it's just abs and just anger.
And he was always, he always had a shirt off, and I was just like, okay, I get it. I don't even know where you are in the world right now, it's not that hot, put your shirt back on.
Right. So that, that's the only, by the fire. What'd you feel about the by the fire moment, Terry?
I felt like it was really touching. Like, cause this is the first time these two characters have come together in a really long time. And like, unlike what we see later, they both have kind of reached a middle ground in terms of their personality. And they really understand one another, which is kind of a really gratifying moment based on the last season where they were always at odds.
I mean, even towards, like, the end of season one, they were slowly starting to become more compatible.
Yeah.
But if – I love how you brought that up because I loved it when they were at the campfire that the lighting for Clark's face made her look – even though she had, like, scars and everything, it made her look real pretty.
Yeah.
And I was like, huh, is that what we're seeing from Bellamy's perspective, or is it just – lighting's just messing me up here? Because they made her look like, oh, she's so charming and her eyes are so bright. And I was like – what are they doing?
You can't hide that pretty face.
No. She's a very pretty lady. I'm just saying I like how they hinted at it.
Yeah, you definitely got the vibe. That's what they're doing.
So here's, and the hug, too.
Here's a question, because I know this is probably something known by you guys, you super awesome and involved fans. How long has Bellark been a thing? Has that been a thing since day one?
Since day one.
100%? I hope not.
Yes.
You guys know.
Yeah.
Invariably.
Well, yes.
Oh.
Mostly because since I did the last season's after show, like, it was all over the net. Yeah. Like, all over Tumblr, all over Twitter. It was like, Bellark, 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 Bellark.
Well, here's a question for you.
What up?
There's a book this is based on that a lot of these fans have read.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean Bellark's really good? Does that mean Bellark's going to be a thing?
Don't ruin it for me, because I just got the book on Amazon, and I want to read it.
I just showed up. It showed up kind of late, or like a week and a half ago. But maybe that is what they're doing, because it's probably in the book, if it is.
Maybe.
Bellark.
Well, I really don't want that to happen.
Though,
but at the same time, I do want to see what it looks like. Like, it's weird. Like, I'm sitting there going, okay, I feel like it's not going to work. But at the same time, I want to see the progression at the same time.
That's fair.
Well, I mean, knowing these types of romances, they're going to try it. Like, if this were to become a thing, yeah. They're going to try it, realize that they're not good for each other, and then it'll be them figuring out how to become a better team their relationship.
I can't even think of a word for Finn and Clark right now. I was going to say Falark, but I was like, that's not how that works. But I really wanted Finn and Clark to work. But no, apparently he's crazy now, so that doesn't help me.
So, okay, yes. We're just going to...
Let's just jump into it, yeah.
So they're in the woods, and what's going on at the same time is that Finn and Murphy, who we saw in the last episode... We'll get to that. Is that, you know, Finn and Murphy are scoping out this village that they find, and it's basically village-looking people, like the people that had Jaha. Mm-hmm. It looks kind of like Grounders, but it's like not village people.
I know where you were going with that.
I was like, there's a construction worker, a police officer, an Indian. I saw all of them in the background.
So they're scoping it out, and, you know, some... some shenanigans goes down where they get there and Finn being crazy Finn now, he thinks that their friends are there and they're interrogating him and they end up like sort of holding guns on the people and you know, where are our friends? And it boils and you think that they're going to walk away because Finn stares for a moment as he looks like he's going to shoot a grounder, but he doesn't. And then everything goes crazy and the two stories of the one kids in the woods and the other kids in the woods converge as Clark and those people come upon them and Finn starts shooting people like crazy. What'd you guys think about that?
You can go first.
I thought, so here is my perspective on that whole thing is I think that the writers were like, I really want a fall from grace story.
Okay.
And so they're like, well, who is basically the highest esteemed character? Whose fall would most be felt by the fans? And I think that they were like, well, Finn, because he's this pacifist. He is the main love interest of the main character. So changing him and having him become something else would be sweet, sweet drama. And so, I mean, I will say that the progression was a little fast for my taste. Like, I think we set this on either the last episode or the episode before where I was like, there wasn't a good enough initiating incident for me to feel like his progression was warranted.
I have to agree with it.
That's all we got, right? He sees the watch and he goes nuts.
But it's weird because even when, you know, sorry, if I don't know if you have more to say, but in my brain, I felt like it didn't even happen. There was no progression at all. Like, I felt like it just kind of happened. Yeah. He literally just snapped.
Pretty much. Because
so he saw the watch and he's like, oh, where'd you get the, you know, where?
Right.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, he's trying to find her. Makes sense. And then all of a sudden he shot him and I was like, okay, what was that? And then, and then all of a sudden he just starts going crazy in this village and I was like, I felt like there was no happy medium.
You know, it could be actually that in the episode prior to that and, because I don't think any of us, if Finn was like, where's Clark? We have to find Clark. Where's Clark? You know, we were just like, oh, he's a concerned guy that likes Clark a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They might have dialed that intensity up without us kind of noticing it because we just didn't assume his character was going to go there.
Yeah.
And if you go back and watch, it might seem a little bit more gradual. But
maybe.
I don't remember it being particularly intense. But then again, I wouldn't have commented if it seemed like he was really concerned, just not violent.
Yeah, and obviously it wasn't even the fact that he was even like extremely violent in this one. It was kind of like he kind of didn't think about his actions. He just started shooting.
Right. They're definitely pulling our heartstrings a little bit. Not heartstrings, that's the wrong phrase. They're trying, and I've said this before on the show, they definitely like to kind of control us like a puppeteer a little bit with the way they want us to feel, which is frustrating. And that's the thing I find the most frustrating about Finn's character is that you just sort of knew from the beginning of this episode, you're like, okay, he's either going to die at the end of this episode or they're going to set him up as an expendable character.
Right.
And the thing is, you notice this too, like Murphy, his character in general, I complain about this every single week. And I'm sorry because I think Murphy's a very good actor and I like him on the show.
Yes.
It's just that it's so hard when you give me such strong, strong feelings for a character in one way. It's hard to forgive those feelings and totally change on a dime. As we've said before, Murphy suffocated and strangled and killed sick kids.
Yeah.
And he's like the one who's like the voice of reason now. He seemed like chaos before and now
that's why I don't understand his character at all. I'm like, you need to pick a side. You can't be both. Like, you can't have your cake and eat it too. You need to pick a side and be either A, I'm going to be the bad guy or B, I'm going to be the manipulator. But don't try to be the guy who's also like, hey man, I think you've gone too far. What are you talking about? You just killed, like, a bunch of people.
Yeah, and maybe he's – I mean, we obviously know his justification was they tried to kill him, but maybe they're going to give us a – we said this. We see this every week, right? That Murphy, they're giving, like, the redemption story.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think he should have been killed the first time.
Maybe they're using – because they're not making him that love-to-hate character that you always want to see
which
die.
Which I thought that's where they were going to go with.
You know, they're like the King Joffrey in Game of Thrones character. They're not giving us that guy.
Right.
Sorry.
I mean, it's two different thoughts that are happening at the same time. And so now we have to see them try to interact. And I think at a certain point, it should have been like Murphy should have been tapering off his like insanity based on seeing Finn like a mirror. But they introduced him this season as already being in this place of trying to seek redemption. And so he also had no real spark. Ford changing, essentially. Mm-hmm. So what we're seeing is, like, one writer was like, I think that this character should do this. And another writer was like, this character should also do this. Mm-hmm. And we're gonna put them together and see what happens. And, like, these are the results.
That.
Yeah.
That was the thing I was gonna say, is that just your point exactly. The Finn and Murphy mirror is the point. But, like you said, it's clumsy. They didn't give it to us in the way that would have sort of been satisfying and made sense. It's gone on simultaneously in a way that didn't really add up. So anyway, they go nuts. I was a little surprised that Kane didn't get, or that not Kane, that Finn didn't get tackled and torn to shreds. Yep. I sort of expected, like, you know, he'd run out of bullets, right. And the other people would show up, and it'd just sort of be him looking at Clark as he's, like, torn limb from limb by a bunch of grounders, because he killed a bunch of children.
Yeah.
Bunch of kids. I mean, that just seems crazy that he's like, I found you, they're just going to walk out of there. How are they going to get out of there? Do they have guns?
I mean, I guess it's more along the lines of just the fact that the second-in-command guy. Nico. I can't remember. Yeah. The fact that he's just kind of like, he really wants peace because he doesn't want to be a violent character. So I get it, but I'm like, he just killed like a good amount of people in your village.
Your kid.
And your son.
Yeah, and your son. So, I mean, I don't understand how you could be so calm. But, I mean, we didn't really get to see his reaction. We kind of just looked at Finn, and he said, I found you, which in the most creepiest way that I can think of. And
yeah,
that was
weird.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm hoping that maybe, I mean, we'll get into that later, but I'm hoping that maybe the next episode we'll get to see more reaction from that point. I don't know.
And we get a full 2 weeks to think about it, because there's no episode next
week. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
For Thanksgiving.
All right. Yeah. So, pushing forward, but before we go forward, let's talk about iTunes for a second.
Love iTunes.
It's the best. So, hey guys, thank you for watching us. Thank you for commenting. Thank you for rating us and all your feedback. As you can see, we listen to everything that you've put out there for us. And so the way that we can keep progressing and the way that we can keep listening to your feedback is if you go on to iTunes, leave us a comment, leave us 5 stars if we're doing a great job, 4 if you think we can improve, with a comment to tell us how we can do so. It helps our producers know what they can do and what we can do to give you the best show possible.
And all we want to do is give you the best show possible.
Darn tootin', that's why we're here.
Yep.
100%.
So do that. Do it now. Do it fast. It'll only take you 30 seconds.
Only 30 seconds?
Only 30 seconds.
Let's talk about something that won't take us 30 seconds. Covered, like, the 900 other character storylines that are still in this episode we talked about. I just thought about it. There's still 4 other, like,
characters.
Yeah,
character... we haven't even gotten to, like,
but
Mount
they're,
Weather.
Like, they're intertwined. Yeah.
Should we cover Mount Weather first? Just the whole going on there?
There's so many things that happen in Mount Weather.
Yes. Let's do some Mount Weather stuff.
Okay.
So, all right. We'll start with Jasper. So... the president calls Jasper into his office.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Jasper has been going to the mental ward trying to see Clark, so the president tells him that Clark has escaped.
Mm-hmm.
And Jasper believes him. Monty is still skeptical. Mm-hmm. Monty wants to go out and look for Clark out in the wilderness. So while they're having the debate, Maya comes in, and she is essentially exposed to radiation somehow, mysteriously.
Mm.
And her skin starts melting off. She can't escape the room. And so they have to take her into the sick bay. The doctor who's watching over her proposes that if they do a blood transfusion through Jasper, they might be able to save her, because the people in space, their blood can siphon out radiation a lot better than they can. It's something that they've never tried before. So why not give it a shot? Jasper agrees because he's in love and he's a teenager. God. Teenagers, am I right?
Absolutely.
Yep.
And it works like a miracle. Maya saved.
And then Jasper vomits. So we saw this last week and talked about it last week, and I think one of my points was that Jasper is a dumb teen. That's like, I think I sort of was complaining and saying, well, I don't think his character, but then you realize that he's 16, 17, and he's love struck.
Yeah.
Easy to make a stupid decision. And so for that reason, I don't have quarrel with the story, and I believe the reason that we expect her skin would melt off so quickly is because they're all like 100 years old and living on borrowed time from drained blood from grounders, right? That's what we assume?
Yeah, that's what I was assuming.
Wouldn't just burn your skin off. I mean, that level of it anyway.
Yeah, because right. It was quickly. Like, it was in a matter of seconds.
She was just melting, yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, and they've also been sheltered away so much. So, like, if you were to have a culture of plants that you kept inside forever and then were to expose it to the natural flora and fauna of the outside world, it would die immediately.
Sure.
So they kind of live under that rule.
Okay. So what did we like and dislike about this whole – do we think this was even a necessary – I know what they're trying to do, right? They're trying to show us that whole – the whole combination, and then they allude to, obviously, the president's son at the end of the episode.
Yeah.
So how could they have done that without spending 12 minutes of the episode?
I think it was necessary.
You think so?
I mean, just because it kind of played a few chess pieces, because you got – it led to eventually you discovering basically the dynamic of what – the president wants to do, where this doctor lies and where his son is.
Sure.
And plus I love Monty. I'm gonna say,
oh, really?
I do. He's always been one of my favorites, because he's kind of like the audience character. Like, he reacts the way that we would.
Did you say the anime character?
What did I say?
No, I'm saying you said I'm just kidding.
I wanted more time, or I like having more time with him. And I love that he stayed in the room, and he's the one who's staying, basically, what is the word I'm looking for? Skeptical.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's a little smarter, just slightly, than Jasper.
Yeah.
Just slightly than Jasper. I feel like you? It's gradually, but that's what I was talking about in the beginning of our show, is that the fact that a lot of my favorite characters are kind of just falling off, because I did like Jasper in the beginning. I thought he was just not a breath of fresh air, but I like that he was just kind of, you know, like, him and Monty were kind of like the geeky, you know.
A little more real to teens, yeah, not then, like, so strong.
Yeah, not like, mm-hmm. yeah, Bellamy and, like, right. Clark and stuff. So that's what I liked. But then as time went on, I felt like Jasper's, like, falling hard for pretty much every woman on this damn show is getting a little old for me. Personally, but at the same time, I do like that he is consistent, and obviously him being Jasper, he fell into this whole situation being him, and I did like, I had to agree with you on that Monty was smart enough to sit there and be like, didn't you say that you've never done this before? I'm sorry. And then she tried to correct herself, which didn't change anything for me.
Yeah, still skeptical.
I was like, that's still skeptical, so I like that he stayed. So, I mean, I was expecting Jasper to die at the end of that. When he threw up, I thought that they were going to continue and he was going to start convulsing and then he was going to die and flatline. Because if you look at the way how it was shot, when she got up to talk to him, it wasn't like just his body. It was the heart monitor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I thought maybe he was just going to roll – his eyes were going to roll back. He was just going to start convulsions and then he was just going to flatline.
The part – yeah. I mean, that it was surprising that no one died in this episode, because it was hyped. The fifth episode was hyped as like a big one. And the biggest thing we got was Finn just going nuts. But I think
Jaha.
Yeah. And yeah, it's just,
anyway. A bunch of rounders died.
Yeah.
That's not what we were asking for.
I thought the most interesting thing that they gave us explanation wise was at the end when the president's son is introduced and that whole thing. But the part that I liked was that the president clearly had a little bit more sympathy, a little bit more. And it added up, too, because you're an older character, so maybe you're not as you know, young and survival of the fittest as maybe your kids or some of the other people here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you do have a little sympathy, like, we don't need to use these human subjects quite yet.
Yeah.
And that explained to me a little bit, you know, why are you allowing Clark to do this, X, Y, and Z, and all these things? Because I know we were asking those questions. But we have two more subjects we have to get to, yeah. So...
But before we move on to that, because I know we're going to probably talk about Lincoln in a second... I know that I have been paying attention, but I feel like I've just – maybe I'm writing my notes or I'm doing something else. But does anybody actually know what the liquid is that they're putting in the grounders? Because
no.
I feel like I missed that.
No.
Okay. Red. I just wanted to make sure. I just know it's red, like, and it's addicting. That's all I know.
Yes. Like heroin.
So, but
red
heroin. Yeah. That's what I was saying. I just know that, yeah, it's addictive. It's causing them to be stronger. Like, I don't really – I wanted to know more because, like I said, I haven't read the book yet, so I don't know if they've explained that already. But I'm more – my curiosity right now is not, like, who survives. It's more like, what are they doing with their grounders?
Right.
Yeah. So the first thing I want to say about Lincoln, and I know – I'm going to probably get made fun of online for this.
Oh,
but
dear.
I know I've referenced, like, his ridiculous abs before on this show.
They've been showing it so much recent.
For the record, I follow pretty much all of these cast members on Twitter and Instagram. Mm-hmm. And I saw a Ricky Whittle post – Ricky Whittle's the guy that plays him – about, like – post-workout with my trainer, and I've heard of his trainer before. I've heard of his name before. Mm-hmm. So it's – the guy works out extremely hard. It's not like he's just like some naturally just yoked dude. Like the guy works out like a maniac probably.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
But anyway, moving on from that to the fight of – the fight of the prisoners. Yeah.
So just to recap that section, so all the Lincoln stuff, he is strapped to a bed.
Mm-hmm.
President Dante's son comes in, injects him with something, and he's like, hey, you know, the first one's always rough, but whatever. And he is using the tonal device that we had seen mm-hmm. with the Reapers earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And as he presses it, they use electrical shocks. So essentially they're classically conditioning mm-hmm. Lincoln to associate pain with the sound of this tone.
Yes.
And then we come back later and we find out it's super addicting and they will do anything to get another shot of this drug.
Mm-hmm.
And then over time, once he becomes acclimated to the classic conditioning, they introduce another grounder mm-hmm. into it. They throw some drugs down. And they're like, whoever wants the drugs can fight for it. Mm-hmm. And Lincoln wins hook, line, and sinker and takes him some drugs.
Right?
He was way more jacked than the other guy. That's the reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's because of his super-duper workouts.
Yeah, 100%. He should have been doing, like, Rocky crunches while kicking the guys. Hey. Yeah, so this is, to me, I think we all kind of see where this is going. We can talk about that in predictions. But I think we all kind of know, like, what the point mm-hmm. of what they're doing here is. And it's fine. I mean, I guess it's interesting. It's an interesting way to keep Lincoln in the show while keeping him away from Octavia and keep their eventual meeting.
Yeah. I was like, their story.
Interesting. Linktavia.
Romance, if you will. Yeah. Their Romeo and or I guess now their Frankenstein story.
But you know what? It's totally, the age thing doesn't matter because as was pointed out to us on YouTube, there are no rules anymore.
That's
on
true.
Earth.
That's true.
So, yeah, we will move on from that subject to Kane.
Immediately.
Who is leading a group of soldiers and a captured grounder to mm-hmm. grounder camp. And the interesting thing about this, after they get there, and Kane is, like, sort of trying to be, like, a peace offering guy to the grounders, that Kane's like, go home, everybody. I'm gonna do this because if one of us has to die, not all of us has to die if I'm wrong. And then, you know, they walk away. The guy says, throw your knife down too, because there's a sign that says no weapons past this point. And then Kane does, and then he gets knocked on the head and dropped into a storage unit.
Yep.
Under the grounder camp that Jaha is in. That's what we saw. What did you guys think of that?
I thought that, all right, so now that we have Kane there, I think we're going to get a glimpse of the guardsmen mm-hmm. that were mentioned last episode.
Yeah.
So hopefully that kind of gives us a better idea of the hierarchy of the grounders. Because we've seen their villages. We've heard about their commander. Maybe we'll get to meet the commander next episode or the mm-hmm. rest of the season.
Did you guys get the sense that this is an evil group of grounders? Because he references, Nico does. Mm-hmm. He says that was he was cast out. He was an outcast. It's possible that that camp, that guy, you know, wrote, actually, no, it was different. But anyway, it's possible that the camp this guy led him back to, do you think it's a camp of outcasts?
I'm going to assume so. That's what I thought as soon as they threw him into that, I don't even know, pit, I guess, that it was probably the same group from before that are probably just out there just to kill people or, you know.
Something
like that.
Just be cray. Cray cray.
Pretty much.
That was intentional. I said cray, I guess.
I was just facepalming the whole time because I was sat there and I'm like, he's going to get hurt. He's going to get captured or he's going to get killed. Those are in that order. Because as soon as he was like, oh, you know, he won't speak or he won't take water. And I'm like, okay, so he wants to die or he's going to just trick them into doing something like that. And they would cut him out of his ropes and he would end up like annihilating all three of them. Second one was that he would take the water, lead them to a trap, and then they would all die. Third one was obviously, oh, he's gonna be a good guy and then did what he did where he makes them disarm and then and then take him out. So
exceptionally poor foresight considering what came out there with two other guys.
Yeah.
So he could have actually just been like said to somebody else at camp, like, hey, this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna have this prisoner. He's gonna think there's three of us. And then once we get there, I'm gonna cut these guys loose. But you are gonna lurk, or you could even just said it to the soldiers, lurk back and watch from a distance to see if anything bad happens to me.
Yeah.
Maybe he did. Maybe that's what we'll see. But it definitely felt like extremely poor foresight on Kane's part.
A little bit.
To just walk into Grounder Camp with no weapons and a guy that you had, like, roped up.
Yes. Yeah, that you cut loose. Like, well, why would you do that?
He's on a peace kick. He doesn't know. He's never had to be a peace officer. So I think he was just going in guns non-a-blazing, thinking that everything would turn out the way that he wanted to. And you can kind of tell that he's a little misguided, or at least he's trying to be super peaceful by when he was basically burying his mom's, what is that called, a bonsai tree?
Right. It's funny because I was like, I don't remember bonsai trees doing well in the, no, I'm not going to get into that. But
you're nitpicking.
Yeah. I'm a very nitpicky person when it comes to TV shows. I get all kinds of hate. But yeah, I felt that, I mean, I like the fact that his character has changed instead of him just being like a heartless guy in season one, and the fact that he's, you know, he cared about his mother, and that, you know, he was actually trying to find, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel. But I feel like that's gonna end up getting, well, obviously get him in trouble, which happened this time. And I don't know. I don't know if that's gonna, I mean, I don't know if him and Jaha are gonna team up and try to escape, or they're just gonna ride it out and get intel.
Hmm. Yeah.
So
that pretty much covers the episode, I believe.
Yep.
Yeah.
The only question that we didn't answer was when he says, what happened to the air filtration system on Mount Weather? And he says, I don't know. It malfunctioned. I don't know how it happened. So who let the radiation in for what reason? Was it the sun? It seemed like it, right?
I was assuming that it was that lady doctor trying to, like, forward.
Yeah, okay. That's my, so it was all that was my assumption.
Fair
conspiracy.
Enough.
Yeah, because she seemed too eager to try and do, let's do human trials because nobody else will let me, kind of thing.
So now, guys, I have some predictions. Oh, predictions?
We should get into that.
Okay.
Let's yeah.
Smooth as glass. And now, after Buzz TV, predictions.
So tell us about these predictions.
I was just using it as a convenient lead-in. I need to consider my predictions for a minute.
All right, I'll start.
Yes, please.
Just to get the ball rolling. We'll lightning round this.
Okay.
Lightning round.
So basically, based on Dante's son's experiments, we can assume that the Reapers are created by the Mountain Men.
Yeah.
So I feel like we're going to see that come into play where Lincoln is unleashed upon the world. He'll probably see Octavia. His heart will overcome his ailments, and or she'll have to kill him. I'm hoping that she has to kill him.
She has to kill him.
That seems like a good thing to do, because it's tragedy.
Yeah.
What about you?
There's so many things. I can't even keep track of all these storylines. Okay, so yeah, I think for Finn's sake, I really think that him being either mercy killed or being killed in action or whatever, I think that will just move the story forward for character development. With them, I think I really want Murphy to become a better character. Not like meaning that his character is like terrible. I'm just meaning that I feel like if they're gonna keep him in the show, they should either A, make him a good guy or make him a bad guy. Like I feel like they need to split that and stop giving us the runaround. I think Kane and Jaha are gonna figure a way to get out. And I think Lincoln, since he's a thoroughbred,
he is
this guy, is a thoroughbred grounder. That I think he's gonna go to the top. And I mean, from the preview, it looks like he ends up might be attacking Octavia at some point. I don't know what was happening in that tunnel. I think that Octavia's gonna do the Beauty and the Beast thing. It's like, I'm here, it's me, and then he's gonna snap out of it.
That's fair. I'm going to build on your Murphy prediction. I think Finn dies and then Murphy just takes his place. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure.
You know what? I could totally see that.
I'm pretty sure in the really whole, in the swapping out of character sense.
No.
I think that's what's going to happen. I have a feeling. I mean, do Jaha and Kane both make it back? I feel like one of those guys doesn't make it back. I feel like one of those guys is dead, probably. But hard to know which one. Maybe Kane, because he's, you know, peace guy and he's trying to change his image.
Yeah.
He's trying to sacrifice himself.
Yeah, because they have to knife fight or something.
Yeah.
In the next one.
I saw that. Like, from the next episode.
All right. So, cool. We're running short on time, so I guess we'll start bringing this to an end.
Sorry, I think I'm going to cut you off here.
Oh.
Because I know last week on the episode, guys, I mentioned that we're huge fans of Lindsay Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dear.
And, you know, we love Lindsay Morgan on this panel, and we think she's great. We think she's a great character on the show. So it is our mission to get her on here as a guest.
Yep.
And yeah. To do that, I've got something kind of specially prepared.
What?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. Oh my God, it's a guitar.
Yeah, that's a guitar, guys.
Nice.
So we're gonna, you know, we're gonna see if this is a thing that works.
Oh my God. Right,
show us what you got.
All right, here we go.
All of our hearts are tied to the fate of these kids. Here we are, Wednesday night, and I can't tell a lie. I just might be playing favorites, but I'm speaking my mind. So bell and clock will reunite. Never stop, never stop. Crazy Murphy's got a weapon. Keep watch. And Link Tavia'd probably break Twitter if it died. But what about Raven? So just keep fighting, girl. Just keep fighting, yeah. This song's for you. Up the fight. This song's for you, 'cause we could use a little Lindsay in our lives. Any Wednesday night, you've got a home. You're the best, be our guest. This song's for you, 'cause you got a seat right here at a mic. King decided the right thing to do, might not make it back. The clock is out searching for you. Got the words this part. So full of major cripples. Still walk, been a man and a man. There's the words, but she only ever gave us a reason to smile. This song's for you. This song's for you, 'cause we need a little Lindsay in our lives. Any Wednesday night, you've got a home. Be our guest, you're the best. This song's for you, 'cause you got a seat right here at a mic. Inside.
We love you, Lindsay Morgan.
Yes.
That was set.
Amazing.
That was fantastic. Wow.
There you have
it,
guys.
How do you even follow that?
Yeah, seriously. An AfterBuzz exclusive song by Ben Bateman.
Thanks,
oh my
guys.
Gosh. So tweet Lindsay Morgan and yep. share this with her.
Please.
Let her know that she has a song just for her.
I really
and
want
the
someone
rest
to
of the
take
crew.
Clips of yeah. Lindsay Morgan and edit it to the song right now, because that's yeah. what I was envisioning in my
so
head.
So great.
It was so great.
Yeah, we're big fans. Hopefully she'll come on the show. Hopefully we'll get her attention. So,
yeah,
if you watch this and you know, you have any interest in her helping us out on our mission to get Lindsay
please,
Morgan, you know,
please.
Tweet us. You can find me on Twitter at Ben_Bateman or preferably on Instagram at Ben Bateman Media.
Sweet.
Oh, I'm next. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at atorres890. That's A-T-O-R-R-E-S 890.
And you can find me on Twitter at TariJ. That's T-A-U-R-I-J-A-Y. Thanks for joining us. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving break, and we'll see you in a couple weeks.
See you guys.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.